Father, here this day, we worship you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We're careful here this day, knowing that we stand in your presence upon holy ground. And Holy Spirit, we know that you want to lead us here this day. Father, I pray that you would place a conviction within each and every one of our lives that are present here within your temple and present there in homes viewing through Facebook. A spiritual conviction to follow you in what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to say to the church here this day. Remove me from the side to the side, Lord, and allow signs, wonders, and miracles to take place here through those viewing on Facebook, Lord, and even those that are still lost beyond these walls, Lord Father God, that they would be found, Lord, saved, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Worship team, great job. You may have your seats. You may have your seats as well. I want to thank everyone for being here this day. Along with those viewing on Facebook, we welcome you here this day. I truly believe with all my heart that the Lord is wanting to speak to each and every one of us that are present here this day and viewing through Facebook. And I would pray that you would focus from this point forward on what the Lord has to say to your life. What the Lord wants to do that is personal for your life. It's real important. How many know that it's just not a saying anymore? We're living in end times. And even though everything's okay over here on another side of the world, it's not. And one day what's taking place on the other side of the world right now is going to be taking place here. So I pray that we be prepared for what's coming around the corner that is not good, but that we also be prepared for what's coming around the corner that is good, and that is the coming of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I'm real excited here this day. We're on a new theme, and we're going to stay on for months, amen. And it's Operation SOS 200. The SOS standing for the salvation of souls. How many here are viewing through Facebook know somebody that needs to be saved? And in order for that person to get saved, it's going to have to be a radical salvation. Many, maybe even you are saying he or she will never change. There's no hope for that man. There's no hope for that woman. But in Christ, we have a hope. Amen. That he's able to change and transform any man, any woman, and any young adult. Not just to be saved, but transformed unto a disciple, an end-time disciple in the days that we're living in right now. So no matter what might be taking place currently in your life right now, it's not going to stay like that. Things are going to get better. But we're going to have to follow the instructions, not of, that are come from me, but that are going to come from the Lord here this morning. Amen? And the 200 represents 200 members by the end of this year. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering by faith there in your homes as well. It's going to take place. We have a strategy, a field calendar starting now all the way to the end of the year. And even at the in January, at the beginning of the new year of 2023, we have Pastor Chucky from Africa, South Africa, is going to be speaking in the church. So we already got a calendar even for 2023 already in place. So what we challenge everybody to be a part of it. and to place your life in position, amen, as the seven sisters going to Ontario, California, amen, to be able to grow in the things of the Lord. Amen. I'm real, you know, thankful of the Lord. My daughter's going as well. Not just my wife, but my daughter's going as well. Amen. So I'm real excited about that and what the Lord is doing. Amen. So as we get into the Word of God here this morning, I'll be giving a lot of scripture. So you're going to have to real closely pay attention if you want to get what the Lord is wanting to give you here this day. And that goes for those at Facebook, viewing through Facebook as well. Amen. I would challenge you, Pastor Felipe challenged you Friday, to get a notepad and a pen or an iPad, whatever kind of pad it is. Amen. But that we would be students of the Lord, disciples, true students of the Lord, that take notes, because what the Lord has for us, it's something we got to learn. It's something we got to become a student to in order to learn it. Amen. And just as if you were to go to school, you got to take notes, whether it's on paper, an iPad, or what have you. You got to take notes to be able to go home and study. Amen. Alberto, is that correct? You got to study? Even though you're a 4.0 student, you still got to study? Tells us no matter how long you've been saved, we still have plenty of room to grow, not because we're that slow, but because God is that great, that there's always room for his sons and daughters to grow. Amen? Praise the Lord. As we get into the Word here this beautiful Sunday morning, as we go to the Word, the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, I'm going to be speaking about them crossing the Jordan River headed towards the promised land. Amen? And the Bible reads, I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 4. Amen? The Bible reads, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. That was on the east side of the Jordan River. Amen? Where they camped before crossing. Tell your neighbor, we're crossing over. Tell them, we could probably jump and cross over, but the bridge ain't totally built yet, so we would have to be a good long jump athlete or a pole vaulter, because there's still a gap in the bridge that still needs to be built in order for us to cross over, but more importantly, cross those overs that are still lost and bound, that are some are love members, family members, brothers, sisters, that moms and dads that we're concerned about. And we need to build the bridge, amen, for them to cross over. The Bible goes on to say that 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions. Instructions are being given here this morning to the people. How many know that we are the people of God here in the church, viewing through Facebook? We are the people of God. At this time, it was the people of God, the Israelites. Amen? Giving these instructions to the people, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the ark, tell your neighbor, carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, move out from where your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, what the Lord is about to do, we have never been there before, and that's one of the prime reasons we got to follow instructions here this day. Whether you're highly educated or not, we all need to follow instructions here this day. Since you have never traveled this way before, tell your neighbor, where the Lord is wanting to take you, you've never been there before. Tell your neighbor, you don't know how to get there. So you're going to have to follow instructions to get there. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. That was the Levitical priest carrying the ark of the covenant of God, amen? They will guide you. stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Amen? In verse 4, I read over and over, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. They will guide you. God is wanting to do something new, and everyone's going to have to follow instructions here this day. Unless you got a photographic memory, I'm going to go for about an hour right now. If your retention is that good, don't take a note. Amen? I mean, you can go ahead and go to sleep if you want, because you're that good. But remember, I don't care how good you are. The instructions in verse 4 says you have never been there before. You're not that good. I'm not that good. Amen? He said that instructions even went for Joshua that was running the show at that time. It even went for the Levitical priest. And most of all, for all of Israel, for all of the people of Israel. The instructions were not from Joshua, but they were from the Lord to Joshua. And he would convey them to the Levitical priests to go ahead of them carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Amen of God. Amen. In verse 15 and 17, before they were going to cross, the Bible speaks about the condition of the river called the Jordan River. Amen. And the Bible says it was the harvest season and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was at its deepest point. Amen. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above the point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Sarethan, and the water below the point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So it was like a reenactment of when the Red Sea was split in two, amen? God would split the Red Sea, amen, by using at that time the man called Moses. He would lift his staff, and then it was God that split the Red Sea. And yet here again, they're still on the journey. Now they're at the Jordan River. And once again, because they followed instructions, God was able to move and dry up and split the Jordan River for them to walk across on dry ground, the Bible records. Amen? It was at its deepest point. The banks of the Jordan River were overflowing. And I believe right now that we're living right now at the worst time ever to live. Wars are taking place. Amen? People are ODing here in Milwaukee and all throughout the region, throughout the world. We're living in the worst time ever. Amen? And we would think to ourselves that, you know, what can we do? We're living in the worst times ever. We need to trust and rely on what God is able to do in the worst times ever. I know that 25 years ago, in the worst time of my life of addiction in prison, that God alone stepped into my life, and 25 years later, He transformed my life. He did what mom and dad could not do. My brothers and sisters, the money, the opposite sex, what prison couldn't do, God did it for my life at the worst time of my life. I had OD'd 15 times. I was all messed up. Everyone, including myself, did not believe that my life would ever change. Do you know somebody like that here this morning? Or could you possibly be that person that is saying to yourself right now, I'm so messed up, I'm so behind that I could never change, I could never get in step with the Lord, with the church. I'm here to let you know that you are able to get back, or you're able to get in position for the first time in your life simply by who God is. But we're going to have to follow instructions. In other words, we can't keep doing things the way we've been doing things and expect God to come through. He's wanted to do something new. Not even Pastor Charlie has been here yet. What God is wanting to do, even though I got 25 years, amen, in obedience unto the Lord, not even I know exactly what the Lord is about to do right now. But I trust in Him and know that He will reveal in the timing of God that I will be in position to receive as Joshua was, as the Levitical priest was, as the people of Israel. The Bible says that they were going to move out of position. And all of them were going to walk, and even though the ground was dry, it was still a new place that they had never been to before. And the Bible reads in verse 14, that so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Went ahead of them. They were following instructions. The Bible says that they were carrying, the Levitical priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and that they went ahead of the people. This morning, the Ark, amen, represents the presence of God. The Ark represents the presence of God. If there is a time, it is now, where men, women, and young adults must be able to carry the presence of God within their lives to lead. Not only, see, you need the presence of God to follow and to lead. And if there's ever a time right now that God is looking for men, women, and young adults, it's now to be a carrier of the presence of the Lord, to be a carrier of the vision that the Lord has given our ministry all around the world. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering right there where you're at. It's a very critical time where we carry the presence of God and not try to follow God or lead people outside of the presence of God. Because that kind of leading can only take someone to a place that you know about. That kind of leading can only take people to what you know what to do, whatever it might be. But a leading outside of having a relationship with the Lord cannot lead people where we haven't been yet. You need the presence of the Lord. And everybody got to start somewhere. I started mine in the rehab home, where I was taught to read and pray and listen to messages. It took place at the very beginning of my walk with the Lord, even though I was all messed up. I stayed with it now 25 years later. And I'm able to discern now when God is moving my heart to lead me, for I can lead you. But even if it comes from God, and I hear correctly of God, and I convey correctly of God, you're still going to have to follow instructions. You ain't going to be led of the presence of the Lord by simply hearing the word of God. So we're all accountable here this day that are in the temple of God and viewing through Facebook for spending time with God. I had very few hours of sleep last night. But the alarm still went off at the same time, and I got up at the same time because I knew spending time with God was more important than spending time with the pillow. How many of you are so concerned about sleeping? How many have gone way out of your way to get a real good mattress that, you know, that you have a good mattress to sleep on? I know some of you got one of those that looks like a horse saddle, amen? I had one of those for years. Another question, how many of you got a state-of-the-art pillow? Because now you got into a place where any pillow don't cut it because your neck hurts. You want a real good pillow because you're really concerned about getting a good sleep. And sometimes we can be more concerned about the good sleep than spending time with the good shepherd. And I don't care how comfortable that pillow may be, how state-of-the-art that mattress may be. I don't care if it floats in, if it levitates, if it floats. It still ain't going to be able to lead you or guide you to the times that are coming right around the corner right now. It's going to be God. It's going to be God and God alone. In Joshua chapter 4, I'm going to read from 1 through 8. The Bible reads, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, he spoke to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Remember, they carried the Ark of the Covenant, and they went to the middle. They stopped, and all the people passed by, right? So God's giving Joshua instructions to pick 12 men, amen, for them to get 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River where the priests were standing, where the presence of God was at. He wanted them to get 12 stones from that spot. Not just any 12 stones, but the Bible says take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them at the place where you will camp tonight. In other words, carry them over from the middle of the Jordan River and take them to the east side of the bank after you've crossed over where you're going to camp out. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan. He's repeating the instructions that had been given to him by God. I'm repeating the instructions that God gave me this morning and through the week of what to give to you right now. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. So we know that it wasn't a pebble or a little rock. Amen. Many of us are always trying to get away with the least work possible. But I believe he was talking about a good boulder from the middle of the Jordan River if he was telling them to put it on their shoulder. It wasn't a little rock or a pebble that he was talking about, and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones. They had a purpose, and I believe they had an anointing on them also. We will use these stones to build a memorial that in the future, your children will ask you. See, these instructions that I'm giving right now that God gave to Joshua are the same ones I'm giving to you. They're so important that they're not only for you, but they're for your children. And that's why it's so important. You might be a tough thug and say, man, take it on like right now. Just give it to me, Pastor. I'm a bad dude. But how about your children? How about your children? And the Bible says we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, the parent, What do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the ark, which represents the presence of the Lord's covenant, went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. Amen? They're in obedience. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Amen? The Bible says in verse 3 that the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan were taken from the very place where the priest stood standing in the middle of the Jordan. And then they went to the east side, and they piled these 12 large stones, amen, and they made a memorial so that could be seen, to be able to tell the story and the miracle of what God did on that day. Amen? So, in verse 6 and 7, it was for their children. It was for the future. It's for the future of their children. They would ask, what did these stones mean? And what I just want to carry out, that this memorial, these stones, were stones that would be, amen, where they were able to be seen. Amen. The stones were a memorial that could be seen across the Jordan River of the miracle that God had performed. Amen. And crossing all of Israel over by obeying the instructions given to Joshua. Amen? It was a memorial that could be seen, even though these stones were taken from the middle of the Jordan, when they were made a memorial of on the east side of the Jordan bank. It was something that the Bible says was there forever. Forever. It was something that could be seen to be reminded of what God did upon that day. Amen? In verse 9, he gives them another instruction that sounds just about like the one I just read about. In verse 9, the Bible says, Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones. It was done twice in the middle of the Jordan. But this time he would get the 12 men to put 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan. It wasn't 12 stones taken from the middle of the Jordan, but now 12 stones were taken to the middle of the Jordan, the Bible records, in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Amen? Another pile of 12 stones, but these were placed in the middle of the Jordan. And I believe when all the people crossed over, the waters once again came flowing through the Jordan. Just as when they crossed the Red Sea over, when the enemy came, the waters closed and drowned them. Amen? All the Egyptians. So here this time, these 12 stones that were placed in the middle of the Jordan River, I believe the water was once again flowing, and that these 12 stones were invisible. They were there, but they couldn't be seen by the naked eye. 12 were on the banks that were a memorial that could be seen. And the 12 that were placed in the middle of the Jordan, I believe, were underwater. They couldn't be seen. But yet they had to follow the instructions. A real key point of the message here I put, at times the presence of God can be seen why one carries the presence of God. At times, the presence of God, I'm going to put here, can be seen in a man's life or a woman's life, in a young adult's life, and why he or she carries the presence of God. I want you to get it here this day. At times, the presence of God can be seen why one carries the presence of God. You see the brother, sister praying all the time, reading all the time, being obedient all the time, and you know why it's a man of God, why she's a woman of God. Sometimes you can see the presence of God on an individual's life because of what they do. And at times, I put also the counter to that, at times the presence of God cannot be seen why one carries the presence of God. I'll repeat that again. And at times the presence of God cannot be seen why one carries the presence of God. And these were the 12 large stones that were underwater in the middle of the Jordan River that couldn't be seen. But they were placed right where the feet of the Levitical priest, where the presence of God had come down. I put here, nevertheless, we need both in order to lead and to follow. There's times as of now, you see me when I'm on Wednesday night, prayer night, I sit in that chair every single time. I don't change my strategy because it's been working. That chair is my chair on Wednesday, prayer night. Don't even look at it. Don't try to put something on top of it because that's my chair. It's like at my house, I got another chair. This chair you can see where pastor sits on the time of prayer. Unless you've been to my house, nobody knows my chair where I sit at the house. Our sofas are all brand new and that one's worn out. That's the place that the most important part of my life where I received the presence of God that cannot be seen by you guys because I'm there alone with God. And it's what allows me to be able to carry the presence of God that at times becomes real heavy. I work out at my house every day, sometimes in sweats, sometimes in my night shoes, comfortable with the Lord, with a cup of coffee, with the Bible there, my notepad, or iPad. What is it called, Pastor Felipe? iPad. I said notepad. I got all these notebooks, and I sit with the Lord for my life, for my cleansing, my washing. But I sit there hours and hours and hours for each and every one of you to be able to hear instructions from the Lord, to be able to give to you, to be able to take on the presence of God, the power of God, the favor of God, so that we can follow God, be obedient unto the Lord, so we can be successful in what He wants us to do in this great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The problem is that many are only seen in the time of church what it takes to be a carrier of the presence of God. But when your pastor sees people come into church that are not even doing the simple spiritual things in church where I can see, what makes me think that you are doing it at the house where I can't see? You're going to have to make a decision in your life right now to spend time with God. He not only loves you, He loves your children. And He wants you to lead them spiritually, not just to be a provider, but to be a spiritual provider unto your children. To be able to speak into their lives of what the 12 stones represent. The hand of God, the miracles of God. When they ask you, Daddy, what does this mean in the Bible? Mommy, what does this mean in the Bible? That you would have a spiritual response to grow their life, to lead their life. Because we're living in darkened times, people, right now. And spending time with God needs to become a priority. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. But too many times we try to do his job by making everything fall in place, and you might get lucky for a minute before you know it, it all falls apart. Because God ain't in it. And when it falls apart, it's just God saying, you need to let me be in it. I'm loving you right now. I'm allowing things to go wrong right now because you need to come back to me. You need to follow what the pastor is saying. I am speaking to him to speak to you. We're living in end times, people. And right now, we're all moving together right now. That's what we're trying to accomplish. But as we move together, we're all in different spiritual areas. It's like the right hand and your left hand is weak, or vice versa. We're moving together. We're the one body that makes up the body of Christ. But we're all in different areas. Some are just starting. Some have been around for a little bit. Some have been around for a lot. And God is wanting us to walk in one accord as his body that he wants to be the head of. He wants to be in charge of your marriage, your children, and your household. He wants to be in charge of this church. But we got to follow his instructions. What do you do with people when they don't follow what you tell them to do? Does it make you happy or does it get you mad? Especially when you give them instructions that they already know how to do and they don't do it. Man, get up out of here. But what about you? What about you viewing through Facebook right now? God has given you some assignments to do and they're not getting done. And you're wondering why your life is hindered, your family is hindered right now. It's important to be obedient to the instructions of the Lord. In verse 13, they crossed over. There was a momentum taking place. And the Bible says these armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle. Why? And the Lord was with them as they crossed over to the plains of Jericho. There's a momentum that takes place in a man's or in a woman's young adult's life. When the Lord is with you, there's something, there's a momentum in your life. Even if things are going wrong, something inside says, you know you should be at church. You know you should be doing this. This is taking place because this ain't taking place. And there's something in you where you're going to have to make a decision in your life that says, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be obedient to God. I want godly results in and through my life. I know that God has called me. He stirs me every day, even when I'm going the wrong way. He never lets me forget. He's always reminding me that he is with me and that he wants to use my life. There was a momentum. They not only had 40,000 strong men, but they were ready to get down. They were ready to battle. They seen what God had done to the Jordan River, the water, how they had dried it up, and they were able to cross over. There was a momentum in their lives. I can be having the worst day, but as long as I get to the Lord in the morning, there's a momentum in my life. So when something hits me, I say, ah, devil, you better come with something better than that. Because I get up and I bring on the momentum. I bring on the presence of God within my life to allow him to be with me, for me to abide in. He is abides in me. And there's something about when a man of God or a woman of God has a very bad day. On the outside, everything's going wrong. But on the inside, God is speaking, my son, I am with you. My daughter, I am with you. There's something about the momentum. Because if we're going to accomplish, amen, Operation SOS 200, we got to not just follow, we got to get ready to battle. The devil's just not going to let us do it. There's going to be a fight taking place. So it's very important that we know that the presence of God is with us. It's really important to know that. But a lot of times when we're out of a relationship with the Lord and the hard times come, we say things like, where are you, God? As if he's not being faithful. Why did you let this take place? When he's looking, why are you allowing all this to take place? Wow. 40,000 men with a momentum. From one obedient man hearing from God, Joshua. A momentum went through the camp. And these 40,000 men were ready to get down. Because they knew God was with them. They had seen him split the Jordan River, and everybody crossed safely. In verse 21 through 24, the Bible reads, then Joshua said to the Israelites, repeating this on the children, it's different reading though, amen, listen up. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites cross the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God, everybody listening up. For the Lord your God, Facebook. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. It was something that wasn't hidden, that they were all able to see, that they were all able to agree that God was with them. And that's why these 40,000 men were ready to battle. That the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across. Comparison being made right now. Just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth, including Milwaukee, might know that the Lord's hand is powerful. I testify that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And so that you might fear the Lord, your God, forever. Not just for a season, but forever. We serve an eternal God, a forever God. And I put here the only difference. Another key point to the word here this day. The only difference between the Red Sea crossing and the Jordan crossing is this. At the Red Sea crossing, the enemy was behind them. Amen? We know the story that once they all crossed over, the Lord let the water, and all the Egyptians were drowned. Chariots and horses, everything destroyed. But at the Jordan crossing, the enemy was going to be before them. The enemy was going to be before them. And the key to that, it's a key point, is that we cannot continue to fight the enemy of Egypt. Because we're going forward. We're going to uncharted grounds. God is going to move us unto his promises. We cannot continue to fight the enemy of Egypt, BC, before Christ. Because that fight is the fight of the mind. The fight of the old man, the old woman, the way I used to do things. And too many in the church, because they're outside of the presence of God, are trying to do better, are trying to do good for their children, but because they're outside of the presence of God, they're still fighting the Pharaoh of Egypt. They're still fighting addictions of many kinds, education of many kinds. And many church members are still fighting the enemy of Egypt. That enemy has been defeated. It's not real. It's just in your mind. But the enemy that is real, he's in church right now. And he's in our future. The promised land came with giants. Jericho had never been taken down. The walls of Jericho, the Bible says that they were fortified, that no one had ever penetrated the walls of Jericho. In other words, no one had ever gotten past that point. But here comes the Israelites. Here comes Victory Outreach Milwaukee with the presence of God with them. With them. We cannot continue to fight the enemy of Egypt. For that enemy is an illusion, a false enemy. It's the enemy of your mind that you fight every time you're outside the presence of God. When God is wanting to move us forward, the fight's before us, not behind us. Tell your neighbor, your fight's before you. It's not behind you. It's not even the fight you've been fighting. We need to know the true enemy is the enemy of now, and that is before us. The Bible tells us that 40,000 men, they had already crossed the Jordan. They had victory. Why were they ready for battle? Because there was a fight before them. In chapter 5, in verse 1, in closing, too many still fighting the battle of the past. You're going to lose every time because it's not real. It's an illusion. It's what the enemy did a long time ago when Jesus wasn't in your life. And that's why when we allow Jesus not to be in our life, well, that imagination boogeyman comes right back in. And we find ourselves fighting an enemy that has already been defeated long ago, to take your focus off of the fight that's before you. I want you guys to listen here this day. I was putting the mesh together and I could barely get off the table when I had a change in everything. I had to take the dogs out and everything, and I was trying to walk and say, my God. Too many fighting what Egypt did to you, your past, your upbringing still. When God has delivered you or wants to deliver you here this day of your past. Because you have a future that God wants to give you that the enemy wants to cancel. So he wants your focus off your future. He wants your focus on your past, that we were all defeated, including your pastor. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. This is what's really taking place right now, people. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, that's the side they had crossed over to, right? When all of the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, the side they had crossed over to now, amen? And all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard. They didn't see, but they heard. Heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so that the people of Israel could cross. They lost heart. This is the enemy. They lost heart and were paralyzed with, what does it say, with the 5:1? Paralyzed with fear because of them. Amen? They don't have the because of them. There's, unless it's, nope, you should have it there. But pray, there it is. Fear because of them. So here all the kings heard of what God had done for his people in drying up the Jordan River. They all knew that God was with them. And the Bible says that they were paralyzed in fear because of them. Because of them, not because of God, because of them, because they knew God was with them. And right now, what's really taking place, that's why you got to have a backbone in you, a spiritual backbone, to know what's really taking place in the church and within this city right now. The truth is that Victory Outreach Milwaukee is hearing, the enemy's hearing that we're still going forward, that we haven't given up, that we're in this for 19 years now, that we're having meetings and strategies and taking care of a school, and we're building a bridge. And the enemy says, man, I've done everything. That crazy nutcase pastor keeps coming, keeps coming. He has a few faithful people that believe what God is saying right now. He's got a little army, a little regiment that's ready to battle, that's ready to fight and take over what belongs to God. See, The problem with the church is that we're the ones that get paralyzed and in fear that we can't do this, when the truth is the enemy's been hearing that we're still on board, we're still praying on Wednesday, God is still with us, he's still crossing us over, and he's about to cross over the city of the lost and the bound over. And the enemy's saying, what do I got to do? See, the enemy can't stop what God is doing. He can stop what we're doing quick. But sometimes he lets us get away with what we're doing to make us think what we're doing is working. He'll let you get away with doing it the wrong way and get good results to allow you to think that you don't need to do it God's way. You can still do a little on the side and God's all cool. Because you got it like that with God. He just got it like that. God allows you to sin on the side, do all that. He's still cool with you. You got it like that. You're special. You're real special. You got it like that. But God is looking for men, women, and young adults right now to put his presence on, to be a carrier of his presence, a carrier of wisdom to represent what his word means, what the stones mean, to be able to give to our children, to be able to speak of what God did in the past, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do in the future. But we got to follow instructions here this day. If you choose to be a carrier of the presence of God, instead of a carrier of all types of evils, I put here, I truly believe that the enemy is still hearing about VO Milwaukee. He got three pastors out of here quick before I came. And just when he thought he was over, the work of VO Milwaukee was done, another pastor came. Now we're here, we've been here 19 years. We've crossed the Jericho. We're entering the promised land. And there's going to be a fight that we're going to have to fight. Operation SOS 200, if you put that Flyer up, please, cannot be stopped if God is with us. And then I put here, our growth, the 200, our growth will come from the lost and bound. How are we going to grow this church to a beautiful church with people that are all messed up? Like you and I used to be. That's what God's wanting to do. God's wanting to say, now those are my people right there. I crossed them over. They couldn't cross over in a jet plane. I crossed them over. He's thinking, because he does this, he got crossed, you know, he crosses, she's thinking this, but I crossed them over. We're praying for an SOS, a salvation of souls, and God's saying, you sure? You ready for the SOS, salvation of souls? Yeah, I'm going to send you some messed up people that not only need a Savior, I'm going to send you some messed up people that need to be loved, that need to be discipled, that need to be worked with to one day become one of those mighty men in the regiment of God ready to fight the battle, the good fight. That's what God's doing right now. But he can't accomplish it with men or women or young adults outside of his presence. And I would pray and I would challenge you here this day that you would start spending time with Jesus. 5, 10, 15 minutes before you take off to go to work or do whatever you do, that you start making him a priority that comes first. We all got a lot of important priorities just to breathe in this earth we live in. But there's one that should take first place within our lives. Because in the times we're headed to right now, we're going to need him to come fast. What we have our focus on right now cannot help us in the time of those type of crises that are around the corner right now. So here this day as the worship team makes their way, please. Next Sunday, the women will be back on Saturday. The leadership along, even with the church people, we're like, you know, a good 95% on that first floor, all the furnaces, all the ductwork and everything. By next Sunday, we're going to do a walkthrough where you can say, wow, because it was all messed up in there. It looks really, really, really nice. Everything is brand spanking new in there. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. The Lord is going to bring in the much needed great finances. We're not going for little money. We're going for great finances. Because the work the Lord wants to do is great. It's not a small work. It's a big work. It deals with people's lives being saved. Whatever the song is, love, as we stand. We need the presence of God. Some of you think that you're defeated right now because of your past. But the truth is, you have the victory right now. See, the presence of God will always give the truth. Outside of the presence of God, you will always receive a lie. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Get ready to start seeing family members sitting next to you, sitting before you, behind you. Some of you got to get ready because you're going to be getting raised up this year. We've gone the wrong way long enough. It's time to follow the presence of God, the ark of God, the promises of God. I'm going to open up the altars. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. Just come to the Lord. I'm going to open up the altars. And some of you just need to close your eyes and say, God, I need your presence. I need your presence, God. I need your presence. I will answer the call.
do it, church. We're going to do it. God is with us.
Yeah.